Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning we are departing from the book, the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. Pastor wanted to do one more on a veteran's theme, so as you can see, this morning we're looking into the Epistle of Ephesians, and we're reading verses 10 through 18. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll see that that's on page 1824. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you very much. Welcome to visitors. Well, it's good to see you. Good to see anyone. It's good to be seen. Well, I didn't want to pass a Sunday by. We've got Veterans Day tomorrow, so we should honor our veterans. Amen. Is any veterans here? Stand up. Stand up, veterans. Okay, give them a round of applause. We appreciate your service. Now, veterans, as you know, they've either been involved in battle. Some of you have, some of you haven't, thank God. Either been involved in battle or are ready for warfare. Amen. Likewise, us Christians are involved in a battle. Just as real and just as dangerous as any battle that's ever been fought. Our objective is to follow the Lord, or it should be, amen? And the enemy of our souls, the devil, is at war against us. Do you realize that? He's attempting with all his might, with all the forces he can gather, to try to discourage us from following the Lord, trying to do whatever he can to discourage us and follow the Lord. So how can we defend ourselves? You've probably heard messages on Ephesians, these passages. I've preached on it myself. This is not the same one. It's not another chewed over old biscuit. It's a new message, and you haven't heard it before. How do we defend ourselves? Well, in Ephesians, Roman soldier here is used as an illustration to our means of victory. And there's different pieces of armor. And see if you can count each one as you listen and you follow the word of the Lord. See how many pieces of armor there is. And then ask somebody, after the service, if you don't leave, how many pieces of armor is there? How many did you count? So that will make you pay attention, won't it? Hopefully. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful to be here. Such a privilege to be part of the body of Christ. Such a privilege to serve you. Such a privilege to know you, and that you are our Father in heaven, and you also live within us. What an amazing thought that is, and a reality and a truth. So I pray that this message will encourage us to be on our guard against the wiles of the devil, who seeks to hurt us and our relationship with you. So Lord, give us understanding of your word and through this message, and speak to us, we pray. Amen. First, it says in verse 10, to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord. That's the first piece of armor. This isn't something we do for ourselves. We don't have the strength or the willpower to run the race, let alone walk the race of faith. We have to rely totally on the Lord each and every day. We can't rely on our own strength. We can't rely on our own willpower to run the race and to walk with the Lord. Without the aid of the Holy Spirit to help us, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We rest in his might. God can do what no one else can do because he is almighty. Amen? So what does it mean to be strong in the Lord and his power? Protecting ourselves daily so we can, as it said in verse 13, stand firm. We need to stand firm in our faith and our belief in the Lord Jesus. To stand firm, meaning having no allegiance whatsoever with our enemies. I have nothing to do with them whatsoever. What is our enemies? Do you know you've got enemies? Some of you know that you do. Some of you not are aware that you have them, all right? The world, which is the philosophy in this, of this world, which is anti-Christ, right? Your enemies, the world, the flesh, this old mortal body that loves to sin, and the devil, not necessarily in that order. The world, the flesh, and the devil, there's your three chief enemies. And we play the fool when we dabble with sin. It's like wandering on the front line of a battle without being aware of the unseen enemy who's out to do us harm. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? That's foolish. So we need to know who our enemies are. Amen? To be forewarned, to be forearmed. Remember Adam and Eve. What happened to them in the Garden of Eden? The devil told them, he came in the form of a serpent, and he said to them, surely you will not die if you eat that fruit that God told you not to eat. So he planted that seed of doubt in their minds. You see, the devil is a deceiver, and Eve was deceived. And he'll try to trick us too. So we've got to be aware. We've got to know who your enemy is and his tactics. And if he won't come through the front door, he'll come round the back door or the side door or through the window, wherever. Sin doesn't look so bad. That's what he's trying to tell Adam and Eve. It doesn't really look so bad. In fact, it's very appealing. Just like the fruit in that garden was very appealing to the eye. But if we indulge in it, it's going to do us harm. It's going to do us harm in the long run. What about Cain? The first murder that's ever been recorded. Cain killed his own brother, Abel. Now, before Cain chose, and that's the choice because we have a choice, we're not robots, amen? Cain chose to commit that sin. Before he did that, the Lord told him, he warned him. The Lord said to him, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, and it's for to also for us. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. So what did he do? He ignored the Lord's warning, and he killed his brother foolishly. He ignored the warning, and he suffered the consequences like we all do when we refuse to go along with what God wants us to do. He's got a plan for our life, and we can make a choice either to go with the Lord or we could go with the devil. Got a spiritual warfare going on, a spiritual tug of war. So the devil's trying to pull us one way and the Lord's trying to pull us the right way. We must stand firm against Satan and know we're in a spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare, things and demon spirits you cannot see with the naked eye. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has got a plan for us. If we only go his way, and if we do, everything will work out. We won't be suffering as much as we will if we go the devil's way. He's out to do us in. The devil is subtle, he's sneaky, crafty. And rather than charging with guns blazing in a battle, he'll try a different tactic. If one tactic doesn't work, he'll try something else. And he knows our weaknesses, right? Adam and Eve didn't see the devil showing up with a plan to destroy mankind, did they? No. They thought that the serpent, the devil, he was trying to be helpful and to show them something that God was trying to hide from them. The devil wasn't trying to cause them any problems. He just wanted them to have fun in life. You know that song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun? Anyway, I'll throw that in for nothing. And it was worth nothing. Okay, let's move on. A good soldier. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Eh? A good soldier needs to know the enemy. And like I said, our chief enemy is the devil. On one hand, he's like a roaring lion, the Bible said. Roaring lion. Would you want to go near a roaring lion? On the other hand, he's quiet, sneaky-like, like a sniper waiting for the kill shot. You know, if you're a sniper, you don't go making lots of noise. You wait, and you're ready. You've got that target. What do you call those things? Yeah, sight, but there's another name for it. The crosshairs, beautiful. Satan's God is in his crosshairs, and he's waiting for that kill shot. He's not going to make a lot of racket. No snipers don't do that. You know, they're trained to be quiet, waiting for the kill shot. Satan deceives. Why? He's a deceiver, right? And if you don't believe there is a devil, then you are deceived. That just proves there is one. Amen? Da-da! He distracts, you know. He manipulates. And he has many demon spirits that carry out his wicked schemes. Fallen angels that chose to follow him instead of following the Lord in heaven before the earth was even created. He distracts us. He either keeps us idle. Idle hands make work for the devil. You ever heard that saying? Something like that? Oh, yeah, he does. Or he keeps us too busy. He wants us to be either too busy or too idle. He wants us to be too busy at work or too idle at play. So he's doing whatever he can to discourage us and distract us. He manipulates. And he's got all these demon spirits that carry out his will. They follow him. They're his disciples. It says that, verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." It's a spiritual thing. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a spiritual warfare going on that we can't even see. So it's important to know that we're in a spiritual warfare. Do you know that? We do now. We're in a spiritual warfare. Because if we don't know that, and we don't put on the armor of God that's written in Scripture to defend us against the devil's attack, then we're going to be in trouble. Only a fool would go into battle without wearing even policemen. It'd be stupid to go in without body armor, amen? If you get shot, it's going to defend you. This is what armor does. And verse 14 is another one. He says, "Stand firm," again. Tells us that in verse 13. He's reiterating the best form of teaching is repetition. "Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The belt of truth. And this means to get ready for action. You know, if you're in the military, you've got to be ready. You've got to be in a state of readiness, not sleeping on the job. A soldier would never go into battle without wearing a belt that holds his weapons and the canteen and the bullets, would he? Also holds up his trousers as well. That'd be a good thing. You won't see a soldier going into battle, running around in his tidy whities. You know, it might scare the enemies, but it's just not going to happen. That's why you need the belt of truth, you say. Remember what Jesus said. Or boxers, you know, could be. Should I tell that joke? Should I get away with it? Sure, okay. She said yes. So, okay, this old fella, codger, goes into the nursing home, right? So the lady comes and asks him questions. I said, trying to get him settled in, you know, to his new home. I said, okay, we need to know, Mr. Jones. He said, "Do you prefer tidy whities or boxers?" He said, "Depends." Some appreciate that joke more than others. But you may get there one day. All right, where were we? You're still thinking about that. There we are. Jesus tells us a lot about the devil. And he tells us that Satan is a liar. In fact, he says that he is the father of lies. So we need to know the truth. Amen. To keep us honest, we need to know the truth to keep us honest. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." We can rely on it. God can never tell a lie. The scriptures is inspired by God. And Jesus said that the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. So when we're indulging in a pattern of sinful, ungodly behavior, then we become a slave to that sin. We become a slave to it. And it will hurt us one way or another. You know, and if the devil can convince us that we will not surely die if we disobey God, then we'll want the forbidden fruit. It may taste really good. Really, really good. At first, it does. But it's going to poison our relationship with God if we're not careful. And we don't want that to happen, do we? Verse 14b, put on, talking about the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. What is he talking about? What does he mean? The breastplate of righteousness. This isn't our righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Mankind doesn't have any righteousness of their own. The Bible says all our righteousness is a filthy rag. Nice. Very descriptive. Mankind is unrighteous by nature. But having received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God sees us complete in Him and totally righteous because He sees His Son in us. We are righteous. Amen? Because of His righteousness that we have received. It's been given to us. It's been imputed to us. Not that we deserve it, not that we earned it, because of His grace and His mercy. He gave it to us through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross at Calvary. Amen? So knowing that fact, if we focus daily, when we're tempted to go astray, which we will be, if we can focus daily, especially when we're tempted to go astray, on what it cost Jesus on that cross to secure our freedom from sin, that is the key to victory. That is the key to victory. Now in verse 15, it says, we stand firm. There it is again. Good soldiers don't go AWOL. They don't retreat. Right? In the old days, they used to shoot deserters. No problem. Boom. They're gone. Useless. Good soldier stands firm. That's what we're supposed to do. Stand firm with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Whatever happens in our life, our peace comes from God through believing the gospel message. The gospel of peace. That's the only way we can obtain peace in this world, is by receiving Jesus. Some of us have lived on the other side of the tracks, trying to obtain peace by doing this or going there, trying this, trying that. It didn't last very long. But when you receive Jesus, you receive the peace of God. You receive the righteousness of God. Amen? The gospel, it's only through the gospel that we can receive His peace. But the devil, he wants to rob us. You see, he's not just a liar, he's also a robber. He's a thief. He came to steal and to rob and to kill, Jesus said. He wants to rob us of that peace by tempting us to do what is wrong. Unbiblical, amen? Here's another one, verse 16. We are to take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith, what's that? When the devil fires his flaming arrows or his fiery darts at us to tempt us, they won't penetrate as easily if our faith is firmly rooted in our belief in what Jesus did on the cross to secure our victory. We're on the victory side. We're not defeated. He won the war on the cross. In God we trust, amen? And that's what makes us to stand firm. That is our faith, our belief in what Jesus did on the cross. So we stand firm in our faith, in that belief. Do you understand? Our life is hidden with him. So there's nothing that Satan can do to try to defeat us. That's not going to happen. We are on the victory side. Now, in verse 17, what else have we got to do with this armor? Every day we need to put on the armor. If we don't, we're going to be vulnerable. Satan's going to find a chink in that armor. He's going to try to penetrate one of his fiery darts through there. You've got to make sure you put on the whole armor of God. Amen? That's what he said. Put on the whole armor of God, not just one piece. Verse 17, here's another piece. The helmet, because you've got to protect the bonds, you know, the nut. The helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. You know, only a fool would go into battle without wearing a helmet, would it? Which is designed to protect heads. And it's the same, any of you people that, I know Spike rides bikes, anybody else ride motorcycles? Chuck, I used to. And if I wasn't wearing a helmet, I wouldn't be here today. I had two major road accidents, and I was wearing a helmet. And anyone that doesn't wear a helmet, if you're listening in New Hampshire, it's stupid. If you don't wear a helmet, right? You've seen those crashes and you've seen people's heads torn right off because they were not wearing a helmet. We've got to put on the helmet of salvation because that's going to protect our minds. If we put on the helmet, it's going to protect our minds. And that's where a good percentage, not all of them, but a good percentage, if not a good majority, of the temptations come from. They come into our minds. All right? The battle is up here. All right? That's where the majority of temptations come from. They're influenced by the things we shouldn't be thinking about or looking at. So whatever we look at, the eye gate, what comes through the ear gate, it's going to affect our minds. It's going to tempt us. It's going to lead us astray from being in God's will. Anyone can relate? Own up. That's where the temptations come from, mainly. Or through the eye gate, through the ear gate. So we need to be careful what we listen to, what we watch, and who we associate with. Because we've been studying Corinthians, it says that bad company corrupts good morals. So be careful. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Be careful who you hang out with, because you're going to be influenced by the people that you associate with, aren't you? Aren't you? Yes. We can all testify to that. All right, now, verse 17. Here's another piece of armor. The sword of the Spirit. What is that? You know. It's the Word of God. The Bible. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit empowers the Word of God in our spiritual warfare to protect us, not only to protect us, but also to train us. That's why it's important to come to church, so we can be trained, we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus was tempted by Satan. See, God became a man. It's only happened once. His name's Jesus. And he was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. But he was tempted exactly just like, and because he became a man, he knows exactly how we feel and what we go through. There's nothing that we go through that he hasn't experienced experientially, if that's the right word. It's a difficult, long word that I didn't pronounce properly. Experientially, that's better. He experienced it himself because he became a man. He was tempted by Satan. Remember that? I think it wasn't just for 40 days and 40 nights, but it tells us that, initially. For 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by the devil over and over and over again in the desert. And his example shows us that he used the word, the sword of the Spirit, to overcome Satan's lies. And if we quote scripture like he did, it's going to protect us. Do you ever memorize scripture? Do you even own a Bible? Do you even read it? You should read it every day. That's your armor. Don't put your armor on. You're in trouble. You're going to be under attack every day. And finally, verse 18. We have one of the greatest weapons in our spiritual armory. What is it? Prayer. Prayer. Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Note the word at all times. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So, you know, it's nice to have your devotions. That's great. We need to do that. But Thessalonians says that we are to pray without ceasing. Have an attitude of prayer all day. Amen? So there's no atheist in a foxhole. That's true. Pray at all times. There shouldn't be any ceasefire in our spiritual warfare. There's no ceasefire. There's no sleeping on guard duty. We've got to be alert. Because if Satan, like I said, is not attacking you now, that only means he's just lining up a shot. All right? So be careful. When things are going hunky-dory, everything's going real smooth, what's happening? Well, he's just lining up a shot. Got to put the armor on. We're to be in a constant state of readiness, like our veterans, like our military. A constant state of readiness. And pray for ourselves and pray for each other. You get prayed for. If not every day, but definitely every week. You definitely get prayed for. Do you sense that? Do you ever sense that you've been prayed for? It's true. I hope you pray for me because I need it, really. I got a big target on my back and on the front as well. Big X, okay? And yours might not be as big as mine. It may be, I don't know. But he's out to do us in and make us ineffective and useless. The battle's on. Battle's on. Got to be aware of it every day. No sleeping around on guard duty. Got to be alert. Got to be ready. But the battle has already been won by Jesus on the cross. Amen. Glory to God. Romans 8, 37, 39. I'm almost finished. Coffee will wait. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. and does love us. Amen. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Remember that song? That Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves even me. My. So, evidence of any victory is when the battle is won. Amen? Peace can only come when the war is over and we're in a spiritual warfare. For us Christian soldiers, the battle rages on. But we know God always wins. He always wins. He never loses. Cannot lose. He's almighty. He's all powerful. In the meantime, what are we to do? We are to stand firm in our faith. Stand firm in our faith in what we believe, in what Jesus has done for us. Stand firm in our faith. And to the one who secured our faith, who secured our victory, and that's Jesus. He secured our victory. So stand firm in that faith and that belief, because your faith is going to be shook. It's going to be tested through one way or another, by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Let me close with this. In verse 13, I never read the whole thing, but I will now. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after I have done everything, to stand. So, don't forget to put your armor on every day to protect you from harm. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here. If we were not here, we wouldn't have heard that message unless we heard it on the radio. But we need to hear it. It may be familiar. We may have heard different messages, or we may never have heard a message on the armor of God, but we need to keep on hearing it and be reminded that we're in a spiritual warfare and we are in the crosshairs, so to speak, of our enemy, the devil, and all the forces of evil that are set against us. So we need to stand firm in our faith and our belief in the victory that you have secured for us on the cross, and to put on the armor, the armor that you have provided for us. And may we remember to do that each and every day and not forget it. And maybe somebody listening to this message, wherever you may be, and you still haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you've obviously heard about him, and you believe that he died on a cross, but do you believe that he died for you personally? Because you're a sinner, and nothing unrighteous can enter into a holy heaven. You have to receive the righteousness of Christ and be born again by the Holy Spirit. And you can pass from death, spiritual death, to eternal life. You can receive it now, but only by receiving Jesus, who says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, but no one comes unto the Father but by me. So I hope that you will receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Ask him to forgive you for paying the price that it cost him to suffer on that cross for you personally, and believe that he did that, and that he died, that he was buried in the tomb, but he is alive because he rose again from the dead. and those, whoever you are, will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. He will answer that prayer. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.